Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Welcome back this weekend to our show. And before we get underway with our next interview, I must share with all of our listeners that throughout the years of my program, I have been so fortunate to interview truly some of the biggest names in sports. And our next guest, he is actually joining us for the very first time and someone I have always wanted to have a conversation with and reflect on his successful career in sports and in politics. And I know we're here in Fort Worth, Texas, but we are proud to share he is a native Oklahoman, and we're delighted to introduce the former star quarterback at the University of Oklahoma and a former Oklahoma congressman who is now the founder and chairman of J.C. Watts Companies. We're thrilled to have with us J.C. Watts. Boomer Sooner, J.C., it's always good to have some Sooner magic in the house.
Hear, hear. Well, EWC, I'm delighted to be with you. I'm quite delighted to be talking to a Sooner, and you're very kind to call me a superstar quarterback. You know, when I was at the University of Oklahoma, I was surrounded by such great talent that if I didn't goof up the snap, we were usually going to be okay.
Well, and you know, we're going to relive some of those moments here in just a moment, but I got to ask you, let me start off our conversation because you know, one of the things that's at the forefront right now in college football, and obviously as you're talking about a former college football player, is this whole Penn State scandal. And we really wanted you to weigh on this because it has really grieved our hearts and our souls. I mean, what has been your reaction to this? Because it is unlike anything that we've ever seen.
Well, my heart just is so heavy. There's no winners whatsoever in that situation. And, you know, Joe Paterno, 46 years of his life given to Penn State. It's just no way. I don't think the university had any choice but to do what they did, and I say that respectfully to Joe Paterno because he's such a hero. But I think it just points to just a situation that presented itself that was mishandled about as inappropriately or incorrectly as you could possibly handle it. And I say that about a hero of mine. But Coach Paterno, he himself admits that he didn't handle it the right way. He should have done more. And the assistant coach, Sandusky, you know, while I know God's going to forgive him if he asks for that forgiveness. So I have no, if God forgives him, I can forgive him. But I don't think anyone could ignore and say that what he did was totally inappropriate, almost to the point of being unconscionable. And so, you know, it's another blow to college sports, to, you know, sport that I love tremendously because it's been very good to me, football. But it is surely an example for all of us of how not to handle something of that nature.
You're so spot on because the revelations have been so shocking and it has stunned so many of us. I guess, you know, indeed there are life lessons that we can take away from this. And this is what I'm hearing you say, is that it really does teach you about the importance of integrity and character and doing what's right no matter what. You can't sweep things under the rug.
That's right. And, you know, we, and and while I don't want to make our time here political, but and what I'm about to say, I say this as a flawed, imperfect human being. But I went through a time in my congressional career that I had to vote. I had the choice of voting yes or no on impeachment, the impeachment of a president. And I hope that we never, as a nation, have to drag our nation through that type of procedure. There was no winners, Republican, Democrats, the nation, nobody won in that situation. But what I was doing with my vote was fighting for a standard.
Right.
Because we literally have almost said that anything goes. If it feels good, do it. If you don't want to do it, don't. And we've gotten to the point that we just say, well, as long as, you know, we're winning football games, then, you know, character doesn't matter. As long as we're you know, the economy's good, character doesn't matter. And when I talk about those things, I'm not talking about it in terms of me being a perfect individual. I'm flawed. I'm human. But at the same time, I don't say because JC doesn't meet the standard, we should lower the standard. And I think that's in many respects, that's what we've done. We so lowered the standard that sometimes it takes things like this to remind us that the standard should never be lowered. And just how someone could have overlooked that and kicked it, swept it under the rug is just, it's quite baffling.
And it also, it takes tremendous courage, you know, to stand up and do the right thing when faced with difficult decisions. Because, you know, unfortunately, the Penn State scandal, it really does, as you're talking about, it reminds us, you know, all it takes is one bad decision and it can completely wipe you out, wipe out your legacy. And you can't always look at just those immediate results. You got to be thinking long-term consequences as well. I kind of sound like a mom here, JC.
No, you think about it. Gosh, I'm a dad, I'm a parent, I'm a grandparent, and you can't help but think, what if it would have been one of my grandkids?
Right.
What if it would have been one of my kids? It doesn't, and you know what? It doesn't make it any easier to bear because it wasn't. We had innocent kids whose innocence was stolen. By a man that this happened, and then not only did it happen, it was brought to the authorities' attention, and I'm assuming at some point in time somebody said you can either retire or you can either resign or we're going to fire you. But even when he left the coaching staff, he was still a fox watching the hen house because it didn't go away. And then in 2002, when it was reported what had happened in the shower, what had been seen in the shower, I understand that, you know, Coach Paterno said, well, it's, you know, he's not my employee anymore, reported to his supervisor. And Alyssa, I just got to tell you, I hurt over that, and I'm sure Coach Paterno is going to hurt over it for the rest of his life. But, you know, one decision like that for not getting more involved and bringing in not just the authorities but the proper authorities, boy, some folks are going to hurt over that for a long time.
Well, it's astonishing, you know, legally doing all the right things, but morally, you know, turning and just looking away.
You know, it would be no different than me saying, I saw a woman getting beat up on the streets of Fort Worth, but I didn't want to get involved because it wasn't my wife or it wasn't
right.
My daughter. Where is the humanity in me? Where is the father in me? Where is the grandfather in me to say, hey, buddy, you know, come over here and do that to me? And again, I don't say that to be judgmental. I just say it because that's kind of what's churning in me right now to think that something that ugly could have been swept under the rug in any way.
Well, and I'm going to shift avenues here in a moment, but it's so disturbing to just think, who have we become as a society? I mean, everyone needs to take a hard look at themselves in the mirror because it's not about perfection, but as we're talking about, you know, doing the right thing when you encounter those types of situations. And as a mother of two young sons, I get very emotional about this whole thing. So let's move ahead. Let's reflect on just your remarkable career in politics and athletics. The great J.C. Watts is with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. And you were born and raised in Eufaula, Oklahoma, raised by parents Buddy and Helen Watts that taught you the values that, you know, we're talking about faith and family and hard work. But, J.C., for you and your family, you're one of six children. Was it survival of the fittest in your family?
Well, Well, it was surely survival, but whether you were fit or not. I was fifth of six, and my sister that was right above me was 5 years older, and our sixth child under me was 5 years younger. So I got to see some extremes there, but so grateful for my upbringing in Eufaul, Oklahoma, a little small rural community of 2,000 people, and so much of what God has allowed me to see and do and birth in my life has been because of my rural Oklahoma roots. Common sense, hard work, faith, family, sacrifice, commitment. I mean, you learn all of those things in rural America, or I did. And then, of course, athletics kind of affirms all of it. You have all those things affirmed. And I often talk to athletes. I was at the University of South Carolina talking to the Gamecocks about 2 weeks ago. I did an FCA event down there, and I said to those players, I said, guys, everything that you have done to become successful on the football field, I promise you, if you will apply those same things in the game of life, you'll do okay. You'll do okay. You won't sacrifice, commitment, hard work, understanding the value of team, big team, little me. And in using National Football League terminology, you may not win them all, but you ought to be in life. You ought to be doing 12-4, 13-3 every year, making the playoffs. You're not going to win them all, but you ought to be winning enough that you're making the playoffs and you're getting better as life goes on. And then correction. Let me tell you, athletics taught me a lot about being about accepting correction, and we don't like correction at 7. We don't like it at 77, but I tell you, in athletics, when the coach who can't run, can't throw, can't block, can't kick, can't pass anymore, their job is to correct, to put Alyssa and J.C. Watts in the right position that we can do well. And the great ones say, Coach, thank you. I want to be better. I want to be great. And those are the players in life, in business, and in politics. And politics is not an arena that we like correction. But in most phases of life, if we can handle somebody speaking truth into our lives, boy, it helps us become better. And boy, at the end of the day, man, we're 13-3 in the playoffs, fighting for a Super Bowl. And that's about all you can ask.
And athletics, certainly, when we look at your career, I mean, it provided a tremendous foundation for you and equipped you for a career in politics and gave you that competitive edge. But, JC, how has, playing football, how did that help you deal with adversity and difficult times that everyone encounters in their professional life?
Well, I team sports, individual sports, I do think sacrifice the tools that it takes to compete in life, I think, is sacrifice. There's going to be some sacrifice. You've got to be committed to what you're doing, understanding your product or your service, your business, understanding setbacks. I think that's, as I said, that's all life. And of course, you put a faith, a strong faith, on top of that. You just recognize that I might lose, but I'm not a loser. I think that's what a faith that's put on top of sacrifice and commitment and setbacks and hard work and paying the price and never saying quit. You put a strong faith on top of that. It makes it a pretty good. Potion to drink every day to go out and compete in a very competitive marketplace. And then good teammates. I am the first to say that, boy, I've always been fortunate enough to be surrounded by players and coaches that took just as much pride in winning and doing things right as I did. And I was pretty fortunate to be around good coaches, good players at the University of Oklahoma, which at the end of the day, created a platform and infrastructure for me to not only play football at the University of Oklahoma, but to start my own business, to, you know, sit on corporate boards and, you know, to run for the United States Congress and serve our state in the United States House of Representatives. So, but it all started, again, in Eufaula, Oklahoma, just getting the proper foundation, the proper, or my parents and coaches and high school teachers and pastors and a whole lot of other folks giving me a good foundation in Eufaula, Oklahoma, in which to launch from.
You're listening to the voice of J.C. Watts, and he's reliving some of those memories at Oklahoma. And as a quarterback, he helped win two consecutive Big Eight championships, two Orange Bowl games, and voted MVP in the 81 and 82 Orange Bowls. And, you know, we think back at your days growing up in Eufaula, Oklahoma. Were you always an overachiever? I mean, because were your parents, were they the type that encouraged you to set goals, to dream big? Because there's no doubt, we look at your resume and your credentials. J.C., you were born for greatness. There's no doubt.
Well, I do think that I guess one of the things that my father, being one of those World War II generationers, one of the things that generation had is they, long before Nike came along with the slogan, just do it, they just did it. I think my parents, my father, you know, my mother was a homemaker. My father was a police officer, a pastor, and a landlord. Daddy gave me a great picture of what work was supposed to look like, what sacrifice was supposed to look like, what commitment was supposed to look like. And I remember asking him once for an allowance of about $17.50 a month. He had a rental property that he's making $35 off of it every month, and I asked him to let my older sister at the time, she and I take that $35 and split it, so we each would have gotten $17.50. So I mustered up the courage to go to him and ask him, and he immediately said no. He said, it'll make you a bad hustler, meaning that, you know, you won't want to cut, mow lawns anymore, you won't want to go and pick pecans or sell pop bottles or do whatever you had to do to keep a little bit of money in your pocket. He said no. So I thought, you know, Mr. Cleaver gives Beaver an allowance. You know? So why shouldn't I ask for one? But boy, he shot that down in a hurry. He just, again, he thought it would ruin me.
It would make you soft.
It would make me soft. And I tell you, I've thought about that many times, and he was probably right.
Having a great conversation with J.C. Watts this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. It's being powered by Pinnacle Bank, the way banking should be. We want to pause and direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com, where you can listen to this entire interview on our e-podcast page. And you played for the legendary coach in Barry Switzer, as I mentioned earlier, led the Sooners to back-to-back Big Eight. I remember those Big Eight days. Conference championships and Orange Bowl titles. Who had the biggest influence on you athletically? Was it Barry? Was it your high school coach? Who was it?
You know, believe it or not, it was, and I think every coach I've played for, and probably my high school coach probably had the greatest influence. You know, we, as high school athletes, or, and I even think college athletes to a degree, you think your coach is a high priest, and of course, Paul Bell, and who was my high school football coach, and Perry Anderson, who was my high school basketball coach. Again, they were the guys that all of a sudden started affirming everything that my mother and father and grandmother was teaching or talking about, you know, paying the price, and you got to get up, you know, going to work every day. You can't spend out more money than you take in. I mean, all of those things. So coaches were pretty influential outside of my home, and I've taken a little bit from every coach that I've ever played under. And Coach Switzer was pretty good at teaching you about mental toughness. And I've gotten booed before, and I've gotten booed just as much from the home crowd as they did the opposing crowd being quarterback at Oklahoma. But you know, he taught me a lot about how to handle those type of adversities. Now, as a player, I've grown up in Eufaula, which was at Fort Worth, Dallas metropolitan area. We grew up on Dallas Cowboy football, and when I was coming along in my high school days, you didn't think any other quarterback existed with the exception of Roger Staubach.
Yeah.
And, read everything about, and ironically, I'm friends with Roger today, and I've never told him this story, but, in Eufaula, Oklahoma, I thought the Dallas Cowboys, especially Roger Staubach, could walk on water. And all of a sudden, I met Roger, and I said, he really can't walk on water. But, I think when you look at his career, he was one of those never-say-die guys. You just always felt like somehow or another, with Roger at the helm, the Cowboys were going to pull it off.
Well, certainly Roger Staubach, an inspiration to so many. But what about Jack Kemp? I understand that he was very instrumental as far as influencing you in the arena of politics. Is that correct?
Jack in politics, he was. I heard Jack. I was running for statewide office in Oklahoma in 1990, and I kind of knew how I felt, what I believed. Can't say I quite knew how to articulate it, however. If I was a leader, if I was a governor or president, how I would articulate where I wanted to take the country. And I did a lot of work in that poverty space when I was in Congress, and I was a Jack Kemp disciple. And back in 1990, when I first decided to run for office, Jack spoke at our Oklahoma Republican State Convention that year. And when Jack got through speaking, in my heart, I said, me too.
Wow.
That guy captures what I believe about how to deal with poverty. And Jack, for me, was just kind of an out-of-the-box thinker, and not only did he give it great thought, but he could communicate it. And Jack Kemp had great influence on my political career. I think Ronald Reagan did. I think Ronald Reagan appealed more to my competitive juices than my political juices. But, I would hear Ronald Reagan speak and just the confidence and the conviction. And again, just like Roger Staubach, when you heard him speak, you always felt like, we're going to win this thing.
Yeah.
America, we're going to come out on top. We're going to be okay. And I think, just like if you're Roger Staubach, if one of the reasons I think Roger had so many fans is because he inspired us to believe that doesn't matter what it looks like, we're gonna get there. We're gonna get this thing turned around. Ronald Reagan, Barry Switzer, in some corners, doesn't get a lot of credit for that. But I guarantee you, man, I used to love to hear Barry Switzer give pregame speeches. I mean, about Oklahoma being the winningest football team and Division I football in the decade of the 70s, and we created the patent on winning. And just his pregame speeches were, I thought, exceptional. And so, again, I think in politics, we want to be inspired to think bigger than ourselves. We want to be inspired to be an exceptional nation, not just a normal nation. I've been pretty fortunate over the last 54 years to be in a position that I had some pretty interesting seats in the arena to see a lot of that stuff unfold athletically, politically, in terms of business, and it's been a wonderful journey.
We're going to pause for a moment, and we will be right back with much more of our exclusive interview with the great J.C. Watts.